Tomorrow they must give up. There is no house not made with hand. Eternal man on high. And here my spirit waiting stands.
Time to continue on with our worship service in the way of prayer and preaching. And as always, we welcome everybody that's come to worship with us today. We appreciate your presence. And as always, we are thankful for this privilege once again to assemble ourselves together and to worship the Lord our God. This is a day set aside for Mother's Day, and we're glad to recognize all the mothers that are here. The Lord says that children are an heritage from the Lord, and without mothers, we wouldn't have any, would we? So we're thankful for godly mothers. I was blessed to have one for most of my years, and we have often thanked the Lord for her. We as a general rule, we don't recognize days and months and times and years, because we want for Christ to have the preeminence in all that we do and say in our worship service. But I think the Lord says, render unto honor whom honor is due, and render unto uh, I can't remember the rest of it right now, but when it's when honor is due, it's proper to render it to those unto whom it's due. And certainly a life, a godly life by a mother is something to be honored, and we're thankful for it. We want to remember Brother Strader. He has told Brother Clyde to remember him in his prayers. He's in Britt Haven Rest Home. And also Brother Lifesay, Brother Robertson's uncle, is over here at Maplewood, just next door almost. And he says he gets mighty lonesome. He doesn't have many visitors. And he says his mind, Brother Lifesay's mind, is still good. And he's greatly appreciates those that come to see him. Now, as we, let's turn to number, page 158, the first song, O 4,000 tons to sing, my great Redeemer's praise. The glory of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. We're going to ask Brother Clyde to lead us in prayer. Brother Turl has been sick, as most of you know. This is the first time he's been here since he was in the hospital. And we're glad that he's able to be back, but he says he's short of breath and is suffering from weakness. So we're glad he's able to come, and we'll excuse him today and ask Brother Clyde to lead us in prayer. But we want Brother Pete and every one of you to pray with Brother Clyde as he leads us publicly. Pray that the Lord will be in our midst to own and to bless, that we might, in true sincerity of heart, render praise, worship, and adoration unto him whom our soul doth love. For that is the reason that we assemble together, to worship and to praise him to whom we owe all that we have.
Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace. My gracious Master and my God, let saints thy love proclaim and spread through all the earth abroad the honors of thy name. Jesus, the name that calms our fears, that bids our sorrows cease, 'tis music to our ravished ears, 'tis life and health and peace. It breaks the power of reigning sin and sets the prisoner free. Thy blood can cleanse a foulest stain and
our eternal Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy precious name, that name above every name. We come to thee, dear Lord, thank you for this privilege of being here this morning. We thank you, dear Lord, for your love and your grace and your mercy. We're so thankful that you haven't dealt with us after our sins. No water dust according to our iniquity, but according to thine own loving kindness and tender mercies. We're so thankful for that, dear Lord. You've been so good to us, dear Lord. Thank you for all thy blessings to us. Lord, there's so many we could never name them. Oh, we've just humbly prayed you just help us to be more thankful. Help us, dear Lord, to be what you'd have us to be. Humbly pray your blessing be upon this service here this morning. Pray, dear Lord, we might have a godly service. One that might be, we can feel thy divine presence among us. Lord, we pray for our church as a whole. Lord, we pray that if you can be pleased to do so, you would add to our number here. If it be pleasing unto you to do so, we'll commit it in thine hand, O Lord. We want you to have your own way. Lord, we humbly pray for the sick and afflicted, Lord, that are in nursing homes and different places, one that asks us to pray for them. Lord, we pray for them. Thou would help them to be reconciled to the lot that is falling that way. We pray, dear Lord, Thou would comfort them. Thou would help them to just think upon Thee and upon heavenly things. And may their needs be supplied, each one of them. Lord, we pray now that you'd bless in this service again. We pray Thou would be with Brother Draper as he comes to preach. Lord, we pray Thou would bless him with Thy presence in a special way. Oh, Lord, we pray Thou would just bless him with liberty of thought and speech and bring to his remembrance, Lord, the words you'd have him to bring here this morning. Pass, dear Lord, each one of us, what you have prepared for us. These blessings we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Clyde. We appreciate the humble prayer with Brother Clyde and say prayer is a sincere desire of the heart. I love to hear the Lord's people call on him in prayer. In the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, we have that wonderful discourse where our Lord said that he was the door into the sheepfold. He was the door of the sheep. And he was, or is, the good shepherd. Commentators call it a triad. That's three different pictures presented here. The first part, he says, is a parable that he spoke. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. The ninth chapter of John, which of course is a chapter just before this, is where the Lord illustrates that he is the good shepherd. The blind man that was born blind from birth, he healed. And those that claimed to be the shepherds of Israel, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they confronted the blind man after the Lord had healed him and tried to persuade him to dishonor or disown Jesus. They had warned the flock of Israel as their leaders that if any man confessed that Jesus was the Christ, that they would be cast out of the synagogue, which meant that you were ostracized from life in its normal way in Israel. If you were excommunicated from the synagogue, and even your family disowned you, and it was a very serious situation. And so they had, when he testified that a man called Jesus made clay and put it on his eyes and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, and after he washed, he came seeing, and he testified to that fact. And he confessed that if God had not been with that man, that he could not have done that. And he rebuked the Pharisees for not recognizing that. And of course, that irritated them. They told him, when he did rebuke him in a manner, he said that thou wast altogether born in sin. Dost thou teachest us? And they cast him out. They cast him out. And when Jesus had heard that they had cast him out, he went and found him. And when he had found him, he said, dost thou believe on the Son of God? Well, he had confessed to the Pharisees that this man that had healed him was a man, Son of God, or he couldn't do that. And he said that he was a prophet. And he confessed all that he knew about the man. You know, as you follow the story along, you know, they went and got his mother and father, and they confronted him. And they were afraid of the Jews, and they said, well, how he come to see? So he's our son, we know that, but how he received the sight, we don't know. So he's of age, you ask him. They didn't want to get thrown out of the synagogue. And so they were out of fear, they just passed it back on to their son. And he confessed that he was a prophet. His confidence, you might say, as to who this man was, just grew. The more he talked about him, the more he meditated about him, the more he thought about what he had done. One, he said that Jesus did this, and then he said that God was with him, or he couldn't do that, and he said he was a prophet. And that's all he knew at that time. And then the Lord, you see, once he was cast outside of the camp, apostle said, let us go outside of the camp where the Lord was crucified unto him, and there serve him. You know, we want to go outside of what you might call formal religion, a religion that's fashioned around a program or a set ritual or a set thing that you do as a religion. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is in a person, and it constitutes eternal life, which is in a person. And as Martha said, I know that in the resurrection day that Lazarus shall rise again. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection. You see, Jesus is the bread that came down from heaven. Jesus is the resurrection. Jesus is the life. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is our Lord and our Master. Jesus is a head over all things unto the church. Jesus is the mediator between God and men. Man, the man, Christ Jesus, and he is the only mediator. And so, as he is fulfilling his mission here, he is proving, I mean, this whole discourse in this chapter here, the 10th chapter of John, where he ends the chapter by saying he is the good shepherd, and the shepherd knows his sheep, and his sheep know him, and they follow him. But he opens up with this about a sheepfold. And this sheepfold is a picture of the church. Israel is a picture of spiritual Israel, the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in this parable, it's as a sheepfold. And we know that a sheepfold in Israel in those days, at night, the different shepherds would bring their little flocks in, and there was a large enclosure, and the porter there would guard the sheepfold where the sheep would be safe from robbers and thieves and lions and bears and prey during the night. and each shepherd bringing his little flock and into this corral, so to speak. And then in the morning, as each shepherd would come back, he would call his sheep. And the sheep would recognize each individual shepherd, and they'd follow him out. They'd lead him on out to the pasture. And the sheep, in the corral, there might be a half a dozen shepherds and their sheep there, yet the sheep would recognize the voice of their shepherd and would follow him out. And so the Lord chose this parable here. He spoke, they had cast out one of the Lord's little sheep, and because he confessed him. And when they did, he went and found him. And we see what happens when a soul is faithful to the Lord and lives up to whatever light he has given him concerning the Lord. The man confessed all that he knew about the Lord, and he praised him. And the Lord said, "Now, dost thou worship the Son of God?" And he said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might worship him?" And he said, "Thou hast seen him, and is he that now speaketh with thee?" And he said, "Lord, I believed," and he worshiped him. And as I've often said and left to say, that's the last we hear of the man that was born blind, because he had reached the height of what any human soul can reach. He'd come to the knowledge of this truth, that Jesus is the Son of God, and he worshiped him. And beloved, that's what we hope to do throughout all eternity, is to worship God, our Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, forever and forever and forever and forever, never, never ending. We'll never get tired of it. We'll never learn all that he's done for us. The depths of the riches, both of the knowledge and the wisdom of God, cannot be fathomed, beloved. It'll be heaven. That's what it will be, where there's no sin and no deception, where there's no guile, there's no envy, there's no lies, there's no thieves and no robbers. And so the Lord, upon this illustration, demonstration that he is the good shepherd, he sets forth this 10th chapter here, and they confront him. You know, they took up stones at the end of this thing. They took up stones to stone him, and he passed on through. It was not his hour was not yet come, but yet here now he confronts them again. Then he's speaking to the shepherds of Israel. They were false shepherds. They had assumed a position that they had not been appointed to nor called to, and they were like hirelings. And in Matthew there, in one place there, he says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, for he said, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven, and you hinder them that would enter in." And here this man that was born blind, he would enter in. He was seeking the way in, and the Pharisees cast him out. And they were supposed to be the shepherds of Israel. And so he gives us a picture here of a sheepfold. And he says he is the door. And he, the porter, openeth to him. Well, on a local situation, when he came, according to all the prophets, he came and fulfilled each and every scripture that was prophesied of how he would come. He was born of a virgin. He came from a little town of Bethlehem. And he was raised in Nazareth. And all of these things that the prophets had prophesied, a virgin would conceive. And unto you a son is born. Unto you a child is born. Unto you a son is given. And in every particular, every jot and tittle, the Lord says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And that it is impossible for the scriptures to be broken, he says. It is impossible. On one occasion, when he rode into Jerusalem on the foal of an ass there, and the children began to cry out and refer to him as the Son of David and as a promised Messiah that would come, the Pharisees asked him to rebuke them. And he said, if they did not speak out, he said, these very stones would cry out. Because, you see, it was prophesied that the king would come riding upon the ass, the foal of an ass, and that And if they hadn't have said it, the stones themselves would have cried out, because it's impossible that the scriptures should not be fulfilled. And so here now he gives a picture of the church of God that has existed from the very beginning of humanity. We see the role of a shepherd in the very first man that gave his life for the sheep. And that is, he was murdered, and that was, of course, Abel, who was a keeper of sheep. And the picture runs from the dawn of human history right down to the end, that we have a good shepherd. And this good shepherd, of course, is the seed of the woman that was prophesied should come. But here he's speaking to these leaders, supposedly shepherds of Israel. Israel was a nation born of God, that it was created by God, a special nation, a peculiar people, a chosen people, a royal priesthood. And it was a people that was different from all the nations of the earth. And it was a picture, it shows, gives us a picture of the flock of God that he is a shepherd over. And he has under shepherds. He has sent under shepherds and prophets down through the years to these people. But here there have been men who have usurped the office and those that were in the office in many times, and have come, and the Lord says that they are hirelings and that they are thieves and robbers. The same thing that happened to Israel over the 1500 period of the law service after Moses gave the law, the same thing has happened to spiritual Israel in its local sense, in the churches. Men who do not claim to believe that Jesus was born of a virgin, do not publicly confess that they do not believe in the resurrection. They do not believe in the deity of Christ, that he was actually God incarnate. They publicly confess that. And so they are like these shepherds here in Israel at their time. They are hirelings. They have usurped the place of the ministry and have taken the places under shepherds, but instead of feeding the sheep, they are feeding on the sheep, and they are robbers. And when the enemy comes, they will go and scatter the sheep. And beloved, I don't think we have to say much about that when we look at the church today, how it's been scattered. We can say that there's been something here to scatter the sheep of God when we think about all of the different versions there are of ministers and denominations going under the name of Christ. But at any rate, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth in not with the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. And to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice." And so when the shepherds come back in the morning to get their sheep, the porter, the keeper there, opens the gate, and the shepherds come in and call their sheep. And he's saying that in a local sense, of course, John the Baptist was the porter in that local sense. He was a man, son of God, and he was miraculously born, and he bore witness that he was not the Christ, but there was one coming after him who is now among you, he said, whom you know not, whose shoe latches I'm not worthy to loosen. And he says, I baptize in water, but he'll baptize you in the Holy Ghost. And so he bore witness. He was the porter. He made him manifest to Israel. That was what his office was. And so John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Lord, made the Lord manifest. When he saw him walking, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the Israelites and these under-shepherds, which were supervisors of this Passover and the ordinances given to Moses and so forth, they had been offering up lambs twice a day for 1,500 years, portraying The one that would come, the Lamb of God. John the Baptist says, here he is. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. The Lord had shepherds, had sheep out among the Gentile nations as well as among the nation of Israel. And in this chapter he says, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, and them also I must bring. He didn't say I want to bring, I'm going to try to bring. He said I must bring. And he will bring them, beloved, because they hear his voice. And they know him, and they follow him. And the voice of a stranger frightens them. They'll flee from the voice of strangers, he said. And so this is in a sense of regeneration. This does not mean that all of God's sheep come into the local church, the visible church. But in this great universal church, this great universal sheepfold, which is the Lord's, the Lord knows them. And he compared it like this. He says, as I know the Father, and the Father know me. He says, I know my sheep, and they know me. There's an inbred knowledge there that comes with the new birth, beloved, that surpasses the wisdom of man. And the Lord, being wisdom personified, knows. He knows how he knows the Father, and he knows how the Father knows him. And he says, I and the Father, and the Father in me, I and you and me. And so, beloved, here man speaks as never man spake before, because he has the wisdom and the knowledge and the power of which he speaks. He knows of which he speaks. And so here he gives this little parable of a sheepfold, which portrays at that particular time on a local visible sense the nation of Israel. And he was speaking to the shepherds, and he says that the porter did not actually open it to them. They just come in the back door, so to speak. They climbed up a different way and took this position. And what they done is they scattered the sheep. They just threw one out. That's what prompted this from this parable. And so then after that he says, then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Well, he'd been talking about the door into the sheepfold. Now, this is the door of the sheep. And this goes a little further and a little deeper. If all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And so not only is there a door into the sheepfold, and if you go into the sheepfold, if you go into the church, you must go in by Jesus. You must go in, if you go in aright, don't climb up some other way, you must confess that Jesus is the Son of God. That's what the blind beggar did. He said, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he said, who is he, Lord? And he said, that I might worship him. And he said, it is I, so to speak. And he said, I believe. Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And so that's the only way into the sheepfold. And the parable of the kingdom. He said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that created made a marriage for his son. And he said, and talked about those that were bidden. He said, go tell those that are bidden to come to the marriage supper. And they went out, and the Jews, of course, they made excuses and this, that, and the other, and would not come. And he said, well, go out into the highway and the hedges and bid all to come in. And so they went to the Gentiles, and they began to bid them to come to the marriage supper. And it said, when he came in, he said he saw a man there without a wedding garment. And he said, friend, how camest thou in here with no wedding garment? And the man was speechless. And he said, bind him hand and foot and cast him out. And so, beloved, without the righteousness of Christ. To me, that's the wedding garment. The only righteousness that a sinner has, that where he can come before God Almighty, is the righteousness of Christ. And in order to come into Christ's church, you must confess that he is the Lord, our righteousness. You must see that we are sinners by nature, and therefore our sins have separated us from our God, and we stand justly condemned under the law, his just and holy law, and therefore we stand justly condemned and cannot come in his holy presence as such. But by the righteousness of Christ, he who had no sin and knew no sin and did no sin, him who had no sin but was made sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And it's in his righteousness then that we can come to the wedding supper. We can come into the church and as we worship, come to this. We are at the wedding supper now. There's a wedding coming, beloved. We are betrothed, according to the Apostle Paul, to one husband, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. And in order to come into the sheepfold, in order to come in to his presence, we must have on the garment of righteousness which he has provided for us, that we not might not be cast out. And so he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The David said, 1,000 years before this took place, he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The Apostle Paul wrote and said that the grace of God that bringeth salvation, teaching us that denying ungodly and worldly lust, we shall live soberly and righteously in this present world, waiting for that glorious day when our God will come from heaven and receive us unto himself. And so he leads us in paths of righteousness for himself. There is...